Thank you for listening to this lesson. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
This whole idea of this spiritual process and, you know, trying to figure out how do I move. What's the matter? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. How do I move in consciousness from where I am to where we're talking about we want to get to? And, you know, as you've heard me say so many times before, this spiritual process, especially as demonstrated by Jesus and other great masters, is actually almost beyond our comprehension right now. And so what we're trying to do is make these slow movements in consciousness to how do I even begin to understand what it is like to be enlightened, for example. And when you read some of the great masters that are alive now and the ones who have passed, you know, this idea that we spend in meditation trying to get to that high state of consciousness, well, they actually slip in and out of that with the ease that we slip in out of the way we think. So it's a whole different mindset that we're trying to get to. So this week we're talking about the idea of imagination, but the title is Imagination is Living Beyond Appearance. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot about today, is how do we live beyond appearance. And I've heard one or two comments that we spend a lot of time here talking about the Bible, God, and Jesus. Did that sound strange to you? But I do understand that, you know, many folks who come to New Thought organizations are trying to get away from God, the Bible, and Jesus. But there is so much mysticism in there that is so powerful. And even the great masters like Paramahansa Yogananda spends, even though he follows the way of, you know, Maharishi and these others, he still, you know, wants to understand the deeper teachings of Jesus. Matter of fact, the books that he wrote about Jesus' teachings are considered by Bible scholars to be some of the best that's ever been written. So we are going to talk about Bible today. All right. So, again, we're looking at exploring this potential of using our spiritual gift of imagination to live beyond appearance. All right. And in, you know, Scripture, the disciple Nathanael Bartholomew represents our spiritual gift of imagination. Actually, there's some controversy about whether his name is Nathanael or Bartholomew. And the reason why is it's recorded in John 1:45-49 that Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, and Philip and Nathanael are always mentioned together, with no mention of Bartholomew. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Philip is always mentioned as being with Bartholomew, so with no mention of Nathanael. So it's assumed by Bible scholars that Bartholomew might be Nathanael's surname. All right, just some. So if you go out and you're reading Bible and you're getting mixed up, that's sort of what happened. Okay. So if we read John 1:43-51, it says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, who represents strength, and Peter, who represents faith. So Philip found Nathanael, said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Right? And Philip said, well, come see for yourself. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, this is important, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. So Nathanael said to him, well, how do you know me? And Jesus said, well, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And then Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, now listen to this part, truly important. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Okay. So when you read that story like that, it's an interesting story, but the question really is what? What does it mean? Okay. So Nathanael represents the imagining power of mind, and in the realm of spirit, the gift of imagination is incapable of erroneous images. So our minds, at least my mind, is working in imagination all the time. Anybody else like that? Okay, right? So the key here is if what you're imagining is erroneous, it's fearful, then you're not using your power of imagination. Okay, because the power of imagination in the spiritual realm is incapable of erroneous images. So our power of imagination gives us the ability to be open and receptive to the beauty and perfection of the spiritual realm, the realm of infinite potentiality. Now, again, using Deepak's explanation of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or mind, idea, expression, the virtual realm is the realm we would call the kingdom of God. It's the realm of infinite potentiality. You've heard me say this before, but for people who haven't heard it. So it's the realm of infinite potentiality. So when you say to God, this is what I need. I need a car. I need a job. I need whatever. God is kind of going, I don't know what you're talking about. Because in the spiritual realm, all that exists in the realm of God is just pure potential. Okay? In our mind, which is the quantum realm, quantum meaning you can take infinite potential and shape it into whatever form you want it to be, that's where this infinite potential that comes from the virtual realm enters into our mind, but it enters according to the cookie cutter mold in our mind. So if you got fear in your mind, it pours into that fear. You follow me? If you have lack in your mind, it pours into that lack. If you have abundance in your mind, it pours into that abundance. So that's why it's so important to keep your mind always focused on what you want and not on what you do not want. Okay? And of course, the third aspect of that is the realm of expression, which means it comes into your physical life. So Jesus said to Nathanael, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Okay? So the dictionary tells us that guile means treacherous, cunning, or skillful deceit. So this means that Jesus detected in Nathanael a person who was pure in heart, who was not deceitful or deceptive in any way. It is like when I ask the question, which I ask in my students in the college, and you've heard me ask this before, is it possible to be perfectly honest with everyone all the time? Yeah, everybody go, oh heck no. Right? Okay? You rarely get that. You know, people go, oh yeah, I can, you know. So it's sort of that idea. So that means we all have some guile in us, some deceptiveness, right? Okay? So it's recorded in Matthew 6:8. Your father knows what's in your heart even before you ask. So you have to ask yourself, how often have you turned to God in prayer asking for something while trying not to reveal the whole story? As if God doesn't know what's in your heart. Is that just me? Or is that, if you need to, right? Okay, so Jesus saw into the heart of this Israelite, Nathanael, and notice specifically, he said, behold an Israelite. All right, so that's why in Scripture you had to say, there's more to it than basically what I'm just reading. All right, and as you've heard before, Bishop Shelby Spong says that before you can become a good Christian, you have to become a good Jew. Because the Bible is Jewish. The Old Testament especially, Jewish culture, Jewish customs, Jewish mysticism, right? So you have to understand what is really being said. So he said again, behold an Israelite. Now understand that Israelites are people, they are a people, but as we learned last week, the people in the Bible represent the thought people in our own heads. You with me? Okay. In other words, in Scripture, so they have thought people. So the Bible, the people in the Bible represent thought activity that's occurring within the mind of each one of us. So you have to understand, what do these people stand for? Okay. So metaphysically, an Israelite symbolizes the illumined thoughts in our consciousness, which are undergoing spiritual discipline. So when Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, here comes a person who's undergoing spiritual discipline. He's trying to work at disciplining his mind. So when he says an Israelite, that's what he was referring to. Is there, you follow what I'm going? Okay. So remember, by the time of Jesus, the Israelites had undergone a tremendous transition from being in bondage in Egypt to their tumultuous journey to the promised land. Now, metaphysically, Egypt means being in the darkness of despair. Anybody here been in Egypt? Okay. So being in Egypt means being in the darkness of despair. Metaphysically, you're in Egypt when you feel psychologically and emotionally enslaved by some mental or physical dilemma which seems to have you captured and you just can't break free of it. Okay? Now, when you're in Egypt, you cannot imagine how to use the spiritual gifts within you to set yourself free. So when stuff is going on in your head or in your life and you're worried and you're upset and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? You are in Egypt. And we now know, those who've been studying for a while, that we have these spiritual gifts. But when we're in Egypt, it's mute. It's like we can't figure out, how do I use this gift to get... You sit, you try to pray, you try to meditate, but you just can't seem to break free. Is that... You following? Okay, so this guy, so in a sense, a spiritual journey is about becoming an Israelite who is ready to leave Egypt, the darkness of despair, and enter the promised land. The promised land symbolizing the realization of divine substance and the divine possibilities that have always been available to us. So when you're really ready to get out, it's like when Jesus walked into the five pools of Bethesda, right, which the five pools represent the five senses, and all the sick and afflicted were in there. Everybody knows that story, right? And he passes by everybody, and kind of wonders, why is he healing people? As he passes, he gets to the one guy, and he says, you know, he heals him and said, pick up your bed and walk. He says, why didn't he heal all the rest of them? Because they weren't ready to leave Egypt yet. The one guy that he healed, he could see that this guy was sick and tired of being sick and tired. You with me? Okay? So it's sort of that process. You get to a place where you say, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm ready to move out of this dynamic that I feel myself being in. But the first order of the journey, or any journey, is to truly understand where we are right now. Okay? So in the college, I use this idea called, in the marketing class, this thing called situation analysis. Situation analysis is, where am I now? How did I get here? Where do I want to be? And what do I need to do different to get there? Because if I keep doing what I've been doing, yeah. You know, like I tell you, the guy, he said to me in the gym, you know, he said, how long will it take me to get in shape like you? You know, he's like 60. I said, well, it'll probably take you about 5 years, you know, to really get in shape. He goes, in 5 years, I'll be 65. I said, you're going to be 65 in 5 years. Will you get in shape or not? Right? So you might as well get to it. So that's sort of the idea of this situation analysis. You got to ask yourself, you know, where am I now? You know, and how did I get here? What is the stuff? And for most of us, it's how we reacted to the things that happened in our lives that caused us to be where we are today, right? So this process of, you know, this journey from Egypt to the promised land is a movement in consciousness to greater levels of understanding of our spiritual potential, okay? And remember, I always told you, from the spiritual process, you don't grow like this, okay? You're here, and in your study and your meditation and contemplation, all of a sudden you wake up to yourself and you're here. You with me? So it's sort of a process where you kind of you evolve to it, but it's not a gradual. It's an awakening that happens. So I say that to you. So when you spend time in prayer, meditation, and you know, listening to lessons and reading and all that stuff, you can. I'm not seeing to be getting anywhere. You know, how many people meditate and then when the meditation is over, you kind of go, that was a waste of time. You know, all I did was worry about you know this and that and you know all the worries and stuff going through your head. But the fact that you dedicated yourself to that moment causes an increase in consciousness. It's like I told you last week about the story about having the young lady come up. I gave him some of you weren't here last week. I gave him the nine dots, you know, and connect all nine dots with four continuous lines. And she came up to the board on her own, volunteered to try it, couldn't figure it out, and then went back to it. And I said to her, Keita, I said, you are not the same person who got out of your seat and walked up here to try this. You're not. When you get back to your seat, you're a totally different person. Because she tried to step out of herself. You get what I'm saying? So whenever we try to do something that's difficult for us, we're trying to step out of ourselves. And when you step out of yourself, you're not the same person. All right? So this idea, this idea of the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land is a movement of consciousness. We're trying to get these greater levels, and it requires a conscious choice in your mind, body, and spirit to move to this different place in consciousness. And the great, natural urge we each experience of wanting to leave the darkness of despair, every one of us have that, is being in the Egypt consciousness and getting to the Promised Land. It means that you had enough of being a slave to the feelings and emotions caused by the fear and anguish that life keeps bringing up. All right? Because, you wake up one morning and stuff is great. Oh, life is great. Who's had that? Oh, life is great. By the end of the day, you're like beat down into your socks. Right? Stuff that happens, you're like, where did that come from? All right? And so it's like, how do I stay in that space? And again, I'm telling stories I told last week, because I can see folks who aren't here, about the Indian motivational speaker. Man, he's phenomenal. I can't think of his name. But the first time I've heard him, so I showed him the video to my students, and he was talking about how he was getting ready to do this motivational speech. And the guy who was getting ready to introduce him couldn't remember his name, and it wasn't on his papers, and he was befuddled, and he just said, okay, I'd like to introduce our colored speaker from India. So he comes out, cheerful and everything, and he says, well, I want to thank my non-colored friend for his introduction. So they came to him later, and they asked him, they were just outraged that it happened. So they apologized, and they asked him to sign a letter of apology, accepted their apology. So he took that to he showed that to a friend, and the friend goes, why did you sign this? You could have sued them. He goes, oh, yeah, the great American pastime, right? But he said, why would I sue them when I had absolutely no reaction to that? You get what I'm saying? All right? I mean, he is a speaker who motivates other people to step out of themselves. He also has to be able to stay at a high place in consciousness. He said, I had no response. So that's sort of the idea we're working with. So when we are in our Nathaniel consciousness, we are able to use our spiritual ability or faculty of imagination to imagine the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, even when there is no evidence that such is happening. So even when you can't even feel that the Holy Spirit is working, that God is working in your life. You can't even feel it. But God is always working in our lives. And that's what we want to do. So when in this consciousness of imagination, this faculty of imagination, you're saying, but I know that God is working, even though I can't see anything happening. Okay? And to fully use our spiritual faculty of imagination, our Nathaniel consciousness, we must learn to live with guileless innocence. Did I say that right, sweetie? Guileless? Okay. She corrects me when I don't say words correctly, but guileless innocence, okay? Which means we must always be willing to share honestly with God what we are feeling and doing, even when we know that what we're feeling and doing cannot be justified or glorified in His name. You need me to say that again? Okay. So, to fully use our spiritual faculty of imagination, our Nathaniel consciousness, we must learn to live with guileless innocence, which means we must always be willing to share honestly with God what we are feeling and doing, even when what we are feeling and doing cannot be justified or glorified in His name. Okay? Because even though it cannot be justified or glorified, if you're being bone honest with yourself, Spirit can lift you up out of Egypt, out of the thought and emotions that are disturbing your faith, your peace, your love, and your joy. God, please help me, because I cannot help myself right now. Okay, we talked about materia medica last week. They said, if you got a headache that's just so excruciating that you cannot even pray, the materia medica gives you something to reduce that headache so that you then can be open to pray. So there are sources out there that are helping us. Okay? So Nathanael was innocently amazed that Jesus knew him and knew what was in his heart. But Jesus said to him, you shall see things greater than these. Truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, that's important for us to understand. We'll get to that. So Jesus was a master of the Jewish Bible, the Torah, which is part of what we call the Old Testament. They're the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So it's recorded in Genesis 28, 10, 12. Jacob, who represents the mental, left Beersheba, which is a place in consciousness where we establish an agreement between our inner and outer self. You with me? Okay. And he went towards Haran, a high place in consciousness. So he came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Okay, now, metaphysically, what this means, if we continue seriously, earnestly, and diligently in our spiritual study, contemplation, and meditation, we'll eventually come to a place in consciousness where what we think and understand about spirit will be illumined. So right now, we just think we know about God. We think we know about spiritual things. Remember, I've always talked about there's a big difference between your intellect and wisdom. Intellect means your mind has collected all this data, but until you go through second force, the stuff that causes you to work with that data until it becomes, you know, just natural to you, it takes a while to get to wisdom. Many of us, I can see by our ages, have kind of reached the place of wisdom. The younger people got to work on that. All right, so that's sort of the concept of you know, continuing to do that. But you will come to a place. And it said, he came to a place. Now, in other words, we will come to a place where we will truly know the gifts of God, like faith, strength, love, wisdom. Those are the four we've gone over already. And how to use them in our lives. So to repeat the scripture again, he came to a place. That's what we are striving to do, is to come to a place. Now, in this place where we'll understand how to use our power of imagination to produce a continuous flow of divine ideas and divine guidance. When we get to this place where we understand, we will know how to work with the continuous flow of divine ideas and divine guidance that comes to us. Right? And we're getting divine ideas and divine guidance all the time. But if you're in this ego place or personality place or struggling place, the divine ideas don't make any sense to you. You know what I'm saying? They're coming, but if you're not in the right place, they make no sense to you. Okay, so this is what is meant by the words in Genesis. There was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Or when Jesus said to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, the latter represents our step-by-step realization of truth, ideas, and principles. A realization of truth, for example, is being loving and compassionate and kind and forgiving is true. And hatred, anger, and resentment are not true. A realization of truth is that prosperity and abundance are forever true. They are embedded within the nature of our being and are made obvious when our faith in God is greater than our fear of the negative deficit circumstances in our lives. So when something's happened in your life and it looks like you don't have enough resources for whatever, that's not really the truth. It's the illusion that we got caught up in. The truth is God is my source of supply, And I have to be open and receptive to that. That's the truth. So we have to ask ourselves, do I find myself a lot of times wallowing in you know, what is not true, or allow myself to be raised up to what is true? Okay? Anything other than the truth is a deception. Anything other than that is deceitful. And the angels of God ascending and descending mentioned in the story of Jacob and by Jesus are representative of divine ideas that continuously flow into our mind from the divine. All right. So you have this continuous flow from the virtual realm to the quantum realm. Quantum realm is that realm in your mind where you can take those ideas and form them to anything you need them to be. Is that exciting to know?
Yes.
Right. It's not that when you ask God, please, will you help me? God kind of go, well, hold on a minute. Let me just see if I got time. God cannot not continuously provide you with the good that God is, all right? And then the angel metaphysically means a messenger from God. An angel is a divine idea descending from divine mind into our mind. And you get it all the time, but you have to pay attention to it. Because when it comes, it always, like I said before, it always doesn't make sense for the situation you're trying to deal with. All right? But you want to listen. And the angels are always seeking to enter into our conscious awareness. And when they come, they are pure, ready to give us the guidance and the ideas that we seek. However, how those divine ideas manifest in our minds and in our lives is dependent upon the nature of our consciousness when the angel comes. That's why we always talk about faith, peace, love, and joy. Okay? You always want to kind of be in this state. So if when an angel descends into your mind and you are in a mental state that is filled with faith-filled, peaceful, loving, the divine idea will come with will come and maximize your faith, your peace, and your ability to love to an level of unspeakable joy. So if you already have faith, peace, love, and joy within you, and that divine idea comes, your faith, peace, love, and joy is going to be like, bam. You get it? Okay? But if you were in a lower place, it's going to try to raise you to a higher place. You know, so you can get to a level of some faith, peace, love, and joy. But if you're constantly working in that consciousness of faith, peace, love, and joy, instead of coming from here to here, you go from here to here. I mean, wouldn't you want that? All right? And so think about your own mental environment. What are you using it for? What is the general nature of your thinking? Do you strive to keep your mental, environmental self peaceful, loving, and creatively thoughtful? Do you strive to quickly forgive and let go and heal yourself of unloving thoughts before they have a chance to find refuge within you? Okay? Do you praise God for the good in your life and give thanks in your times of challenge, knowing in your heart and mind that the activity of the Holy Spirit is working to bring about peaceful, harmonious solutions no matter what the appearance might be? So your imagination, our grandson, Damon, is Damon here? Big Damon here? He left? Okay. Our grandson, little Damon, I mean, he's lived all over the world all his life. So now he's in London going to school, and he finished what he was doing. He had some prep work he had to do. And so he just bought a ticket, and he went to Germany, 19 years old. Right? Because that's just natural to him. You get what I'm saying? Now, I said that to my kids in my class, and they were like, oh, God, I don't know if I even know how to get to Washington, D.C. All right? So it's sort of like you want to experiment with the idea of moving through the realm of spirit with great ease. Okay? Not a struggle, but with great ease. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, can you imagine the good in the personal situation that might be disturbing your peace? Are your thoughts of your mind and the meditations of your heart acceptable in the sight of God? That's what you ask yourself. So it's sort of like moment by moment, you have to keep stopping and go, oh, what am I thinking about? It's like when I was in Xerox, they had a little buzzer we put in our pocket, and every 9 minutes it went off, and you had to write what you were doing or thinking about. Some of you need all to get buzzers and put them in our pockets. Well, we don't need buzzers, right? We got this. Right? Okay? Right? I mean, can you imagine if it went off every 15 minutes or so and you go, oh, what was I thinking about or doing in the last 15 minutes? Some of us can't remember, but, you know. You know, those of us who walk into a room and go, why am I here? Yeah, right? Okay. So these questions ask you to examine your mental environment, because it is from the answers to these questions that you will now know how you are receiving and using the angels of God, meaning the divine ideas, the answers to your prayers, which are descending into your mind. What you use your mind to imagine will determine the nature and quality of your life. Okay? Now, it's recorded in 1 Chronicles 28:9. Serve God with your whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches your heart and understands every imagination and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for his sanctuary. Be strong and allow it to unfold. So when we have been given this gift to imagine, you know, the good that God is streaming into our lives, that's what we've been given. We just use your imagination, always streaming. Oh, so I was telling that story. I'm sorry, I got off track. That when Damon was, you know, Big Damon and his mother, Detrice, were going, oh, God, he's going to, you know, he's moving, going from London to Germany by himself. But, you know, little Damon, I think, has been in more parts of the world than they have, because he was an ambassador for kids in the military, and he was traveling around all over, even without them. Okay? So I said to Damon, and Damon said, oh, you know, I didn't hear from him, and blah. I said, but Damon, only imagine what you want. And that was for him to be safe. And sure enough, he got a text saying, hi, Dad, I'm in Germany at a friend's house. So that's what I'm using. You want to only imagine what you want. How many times we get caught up in imagining what we don't want? All right? And you got to remember, God is like, whatever you want. It's okay with me, right? Yeah. So we just have to keep our minds focused. So ask yourself, how have you chosen to use your gift? And I'm going to end with this affirmation. I'm going to get you to do it with me. So the first part is, I move with the grace of spirit through the challenges in my life. I move with the grace of spirit through the challenges in my life. Say that with me. I move with the grace of spirit through the challenges in my life. I drop my resistance, realizing that nothing and no one opposes me. I imagine each new day being filled with my joyful expectancy of good. And so it is. Amen.